What's going on, guys? This is the MMA Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
And we're back. Brand new episode. It is, let me check the date.
I think February 18th?
Yes, it is. It's a Thursday afternoon here in sunny Los Angeles. Unlike what's going on, the poor people in
Texas. Wow, that's crazy.
Yep.
You have an uncle that lives out there, right?
Yeah. I haven't checked on him.
Oh, shit. Oh, he's doing okay.
I don't know. And then, yeah, you know what I was thinking, though? Well, first of all, thank you guys all for joining us, listening, watching on YouTube. Make sure you like, subscribe. Thank you guys if you've been here before and you know, watched our show or listened to our stuff. Share with your friends and talk about it.
Yeah,
you know, I was thinking when that whole, you know, it's still going on, but the Texas storms and all that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like one Rogan and Red Band and all these other comedians.
Oh, so Red Band officially moved over there?
He has got a place over there. I don't know if he officially like moved out and let go.
Yeah, especially Rogan is fucking idiot. That's what he gets.
So I saw Red Band's tweet and he was like, I've been out without power for like 2 days and this and this. And I'm like,
he likes it.
That's what you get.
And I'm like, here we are with 70 degree weather.
Yeah, we got great weather, and yeah,
it's cold, but it's not freezing.
Yeah, you know, we don't like the politics either, I guess, for the most part. I mean, I kind of don't really give a shit anyway.
Yeah.
But it's you know,
we're comfortable
as fuck. Comfortable as fuck right now. So I feel bad for the people that moved out there, that live out there. But you know, when I saw that they're out power and Rogan doesn't even have power, and then you're talking so much shit about LA,
yeah,
and you got all these other fucking comedians following you, and then now they're all fucked because they don't have any power.
Yeah, because I think it's colder in Alaska. I mean, it's colder in Texas than Alaska.
Yeah,
and then like, but do you think someone like Joe Rogan is affected by it because he's super rich?
No. Plus, he's probably got like backup generators, and he hasn't put out an episode, so I know he's affected. Hmm. I definitely know he's affected. So he hasn't put out an episode. And if Red Band's affected, I know Rogan's affected. And the only thing I've seen from Rogan was him out in the snow with his dog. That's the only thing. But he hasn't put out any episode. So yeah, he's definitely feeling it. But he's got so much money that those backup generators kick in and boom, he's good.
Yeah.
So I'm sure. But yeah. So that, anything else going on in your world? How was Valentine's Day?
It was good. We didn't do anything too special. I think we both baked for each other.
And you baked cookies.
Yeah, for the first time by scratch.
You're not a baker.
No, but you know what? I found it pretty easy. I found it easier than cooking.
That's something you picked up this past year.
Yeah.
And during quarantine, is that you picked up?
Yeah, because with cooking, like it's like spices and like you gotta like make sure you don't put in too much salt or whatever. Yeah. With baking, it's just like you just gotta literally follow directions.
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy.
Yeah, I don't really cook much. I don't really bake. But
because beforehand,
seems pretty.
Yeah, it's pretty easy because I have a mixer.
Easy.
So
yeah,
if you have a mixer at home, it makes things a lot easier.
So how do they turn out?
Good. I mean, I don't like chocolate, but I had to taste my products to make sure it came out good.
Yeah,
it's pretty tasty.
Not bad.
Yeah, and then like.
And then what else did you do? Because I know you got her like this, like.
Yeah, like a heart that you can
heart
break
shell
with a heart
crack thingy. And you sure she didn't expect a ring in there?
No, because we like, we both made it clear that
there's no big surprises.
No, we just said just dessert for Valentine's.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll go eat something.
Got it.
So that's why I baked because she said, okay, I'll bake for you, bake for me. I said, okay, done.
And it was like this hard shell.
Yeah, so it was a heart that you can break with a hammer, but the heart was made out of white chocolate, so you can it's edible. And it came with like little strawberries inside of like a white chocolate shell or covering.
Yeah.
And I put the cookies inside. So when she broke the heart, the cookies were inside. So,
that's cool.
And then she made me oatmeal cookies. And then we had ramen someplace by her house.
That's cool.
Which is walking distance. So we walked there.
Yeah.
We ate outside and then we just went back home. It wasn't nothing special. But, you know, for us, you know, Valentine's Day and shit.
Yeah.
This is another fucking day, but.
I mean, I can't. You did way more than I did. I mean, I didn't even get anything. I didn't. It's kind of hard, man.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really want to do anything, but.
It's kind of hard. And we're, you know, the current situation we're all in right now is one. There's not much to do anyway. It's not like you can't go all out and get a dinner reservation somewhere and get some fancy dinner. It's like, what are you going to eat outside? You're like, that's not, might as well just stay inside.
And it's cold. And the only reason why I did all this shit, because I got in trouble last time. I got in trouble because my anniversary was the week before.
Yeah. That's a shitty part too, because for me, it's Christmas. There's a lot of birthdays and stuff around that time. Like my son's birthday is around Christmas. And then you have like our before we got married, our anniversary was like the end of January. And then a couple of weeks later, it's Valentine's Day. And then,
it's all shit in the row.
Expensive.
So like she made it clear. She's like, okay, for our anniversary, like we'll just give each other a gift.
Yeah.
Because I have to work that night. So like we can't really do much. So I just listened to her. I should have fucking, I don't know. I got fucking yelled at. So I just said, okay, well, I got her the gift that she wanted. And then that was it. And then she was like, pissy all day. And I told her, what's wrong? She goes, well, I expected something on our anniversary. I said, but you told me not to. You told me that you had to work. So I thought I didn't do anything. So yeah, but we could have gone somewhere. I'm all, fuck. You told me. I said, okay. So in my head, I said, hey, well, Valentine's Day, I gotta fucking do something because I don't want to hear this shit again.
Yeah.
But well, to me, what's...
Good thing you did. Good thing. Yeah. And what saved you a lot was COVID. That,
yeah. Because I told her, like, look, we didn't go anywhere because of COVID. One, two, you had to work. I know you had to work. And three, you told me only the gift. So I don't know. I said, next time, tell me that you want to go out and we'll go out.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell you. Oh, fuck, okay. I don't want to hear that shit again. So I just said, okay, well, I'm going to take her to go eat ramen and I'll do some of the extras.
Yeah.
From the cookies. God damn it.
Well, at least yours was you guys had fun and you did something cool. Well, we didn't do anything. Things change a little bit when you're under quarantine and you have a kid.
And you're married, and then you
you can't really do a lot, so it's like it just seems like that. And I don't like Valentine's Day either. I think it's a made up fucking holiday. I
fucking hate it. The whole thing is strange.
Yeah, it's a made up holiday. It's stressful, and it's like and then everybody blasts everything on Instagram, and then you gotta just participate and all that stuff. And I didn't really.
It feels forced to me.
It is forced. And that's why, whatever. We kind of agreed not to. Really do much, mainly because we're planning on house shopping, looking around. Right now is the best time if you got the cash on you to house, buy a house. So things are pretty good right now. So at least in the market. That's where we're at. But I didn't really do much.
Yeah. So. I mean, well, to me, I probably wouldn't do much for a lot of things, but
yeah. What else is going on? Anything else going on with you?
No. I mean, have you been watching WandaVision?
I have. I think the new episode's coming out tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's gonna be an hour, right?
Each? Yeah, I'm hearing the last few episodes are gonna be an hour each, which I'm looking forward to.
God,
yeah,
dude. And I have I have the iPhone 12 Pro Max, so it's already has Dolby Vision. Like when you watch videos, so when I watch these things on my phone, it's a big screen, so. If my computer is low battery and I'm too lazy to charge it, I just watch my phone. It's fucking great.
So since we're talking about comic book movie stuff, what do you think about the Justice League trailer?
I had mixed emotions with it. I think it looked good
because it's kind of the same footage from the last one. It's a completely new cut.
Yeah,
longer.
Yeah,
and a bunch of new scenes and Darkseid and all that stuff.
Yeah,
does it get you pumped up? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah. I think when I saw the Joker, I got really excited.
Yeah. That was a good scene.
Mm-hmm. So I was super excited about that. So I wonder if the villains are kind of the Justice League where they have their own super team.
That would be cool if they kind of set up a whole Legion of Doom.
Legion of Doom, right?
Yeah. That would really be cool. Yeah. That would really that would be awesome, man.
Because I don't know if Joker's gonna be there for one scene, or is he gonna be there throughout the whole movie, or is he gonna have a prominent role?
If I was a bet, I would say that was probably the most we're really gonna get out of it.
Yeah, or maybe set something up.
Yeah.
So that did Ben Affleck sign a new contract to do these additional scenes? Did they reshoot?
I think they brought everybody back for this movie, for this recut. And I think that's pretty much it. I don't think he's coming back.
So he agreed to do this one time?
I hope they bring him back. I really do, because...
You know, he really grew on me as Bruce Wayne Batman.
And he at least... I'm mixed on terms of him being Bruce Wayne, but in terms of, like, in the bat suit, I think he's kind of pretty
badass
in the bat suit.
I have to agree with that.
Yeah. You know, I was watching, speaking of Batman, we're watching Batman Forever. Did we talk about this last time?
Privately, not on camera.
Okay. My wife thinks that Val Kilmer is the closest Batman to the animated version. Terms of somebody that could pull off a convincing Bruce Wayne and got the demeanor and the kind of the attitude of the Batman, animated Bruce Wayne, and actually can pull off the costume Batman. What do you think? Who's the best? Do you consider the animated Batman the best Batman?
I do. Yeah,
I think so. Right.
By far,
the animated series Batman is, I think, the best. If you were to take them all into account, everybody, that's the best one.
Yeah, for sure.
In terms of live action, who's the closest representation of that Batman?
What do you think? I really like Christian Bale, man. I do like him a lot.
No, I like it. I like Christian Bale too. He's probably still my favorite Batman because, like, all around, he's
just because he's a good looking guy.
Yeah,
so he pulls off that rich kind of persona, the playboy kind of persona. So he's not old enough, but he's not young enough. He's like he's a good age group to be a Bruce Wayne.
He can physically looks like he can
kick ass. And the only knock on Christian Bale's Batman is the voice, but I can do it. I mean, I can let that pass.
Yeah.
I think
the voice is a little rough. It makes it to where you almost have to watch it with subtitles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, I can give that a hall pass. But I think, me personally, I think that he's the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite films are the Keaton films.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Especially the first one.
My favorite all-around Batman is definitely, it's got to be Christian Bale. Now, I do think there's something missing in his Bruce Wayne. Maybe it's not enough of him and Bruce Wayne. Like, we want to get, like, Batman Begins, we get that kind of, like, that youthful, like, playboyish, billionaire, cocky version of Bruce Wayne. But he's not really like that character. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of, like, the animated version is not really like that.
So. No, but I think later on in the Nolan films, he's changed because Joker.
Yeah, he changed. And he gets weathered and gets beaten up and he's kind of over the whole thing. But as far as, like, if you look at Batman Forever, like, Val Kilmer plays a good Batman.
I have to rewatch that.
You watch it again, like, because I don't know. And I kind of tended to agree. I was like, you know what? He does do a pretty good Bruce Wayne, like, and his attitude and his demeanor compared to, like, the animated version is pretty close. Now, I wouldn't say he's still there's still something missing from him in terms of, like, he doesn't stand out like the others.
Is he blonde in that movie?
He's blonde, blonder, kind of like a dark blonde.
Like a dirty blonde?
Yeah, dirty blonde. Yeah.
See, I can't see Bruce with dirty blonde hair.
But watch it again and see if what you think. He actually does a pretty good Batman,
because
the suit. I like it.
You might be right, because I felt the same way about Tobey Maguire when he played Spider-Man. I thought he was awful, but then when I rewatched it, I said, "Man, he's pretty good as Spider-Man."
I think he's still my favorite. I think he's the best.
Yeah,
Spider-Man. And then the Batman Forever has, like, Riddler, Jim Carrey. If you like Jim Carrey, that's, like, ultimate Jim Carrey.
You know, he was a really great Riddler.
Yeah,
I think the worst villain in that series was Mr. Freeze.
Yo. Okay, so yeah, I watched Batman and Robin.
I don't know.
Batman and Robin.
Two-Face was pretty bad, too. Yeah. Oh, Batman and Robin with George Clooney?
Oh.
George Clooney was shorter than Robin.
I know. And Batman and Robin, we watched that one, too. And, man, they, like, you know, like, most of the early Batmans had a little bit of that, and you know, that kiddish, cartoonish kind of feel to them.
Yeah, very comic-ish.
Oh, man. That's Batman, over the top. Batman and Robin was over the top. Like the first like 10 minutes of the film, you're just like, what the fuck is going on here? Mm-hmm. Like it's insane.
It's so colorful and like.
And just even when they're putting on the bat suits, they focus on the butt. Like it's just everything's all comical.
Oh yeah, the fucking nipple. And
yeah, everything's all comical. And I'm like, it's like this is
a
like,
comical Batman. Is
oh, it was bad. It was Batman 66 kind of like comical. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it doesn't fit in this whole type of you know, Tim Burton-ish type of movie. You know, but yeah,
that was bad.
Oh, that was a bad movie. I had kind of turned it off after a while. I was like, all right, let's move on to something else.
Yeah. Too bad.
And what did you think about the Mortal Kombat trailer? Just came out.
I liked it. I think it has potential. I'm optimistic when it comes to the movie. I think we were talking about this off camera, but you're right. I mean, I think the old movies has a certain charm to it that you can't, although it's a bit cheesy, the charm and the nostalgia of it makes it a great movie.
Now, is it one of your favorites? What did you think about the original Mortal Kombat movie?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we watched it like a couple months ago, and I still enjoyed it. Maybe, I don't know, it's nostalgia. I don't know if it was because
it was a 90s kind of movie, certain charm. It was good.
But I think this one is going to be more realistic, I think. I think the story aspect has... I don't know. I'm excited for it, and I'm optimistic.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to probably the most, Mortal Kombat-based film that they could really put out. Like, I think they have that rivalry between Sub-Zero and Scorpion. You know, they look like the video game versions, the current video game versions.
They have the fatalities.
Yeah, they have fatalities, and you have all the finish him type of shit in there. It looks really cool, and... It looks really cool, and we're basing it off the trailer. I thought it's gonna look. It looks cool, and it's probably gonna be a pretty decent movie. But it's not gonna. Is it gonna have that lasting effect? Is it gonna be memorable? Are you gonna quote lines from it? Are you gonna, you know, because
probably not. I think it's gonna be easily forgotten.
That's in my head. I'm like, this looks cool, and it's gonna check all the boxes if you're a MK fan, but. It's not going to have that lasting effect.
Because even the original had the music was catchy and like
I own the soundtrack, and we used to like wrestle with my cousins with the soundtrack in the background, and then like fucking you know throw each other around with the soundtrack, like and had the toys,
and had the overblown like fighting scenes.
Yeah, the fight scenes were like choreographed and really set up really cool, and like even the introduction of. You know, the Scorpion and Sub-Zero when they're first introduced. I thought that was because
even the
sick.
Sequel was great, right?
The sequel wasn't bad. Like, the sequel was more cheesy than the first. It was more of a Street Fighter movie cheesy, but good. It was fine. It had,
But you're right. I don't think the new ones have a long-lasting effect.
Like, the first movie, I can probably quote the entire movie still. And, And the fight scenes were pretty badass, I think.
Yeah.
This one, I think, is going to look cool. It's going to probably be a decent movie, but I think it's going to be forgettable. I don't think anybody's going to quote lines from it. I don't think anybody's going to go buy the soundtrack or download the theme song. It doesn't even have the original theme song in it.
No, it doesn't. So. It's a bit weird to like see that, you know, streaming on HBO Max.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that all these movies are being released on the streaming service, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like going to the movies is pretty much obsolete.
Definitely.
It's crazy.
Let's get into the fights. Let's get into the fight talk. And we'll recap last weekend's Usman and Burns card right now. So let's get into that real quick. Let me pull up the card. All right. So this past weekend was UFC 258, Usman versus Burns. The card overall, I thought was pretty entertaining. Mm-hmm. Kicked off really with a good fight with Julian Marquez versus Maki Pitolo. I thought that was great. The prelims were capped off by Anthony Hernandez and Rodolfo Vieira. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't.
Rodolfo Vieira is, you know, wasn't really familiar with him too much before, but he's multiple time, probably the most one of the baddest jiu-jitsu guys currently in the jiu-jitsu circuit right now. Multiple gold medals and all this shit. Like, just, you know, he's taking a shot at MMA right now. Mm. And he's going against Anthony Hernandez, who's a, you know, not well known. Maybe the hardcores have seen him fight a couple of times. I have seen him fight a couple of times. This was a big test for him. A lot of people were expecting him to lose. And then he goes and submits the jiu-jitsu phenom.
I heard about that. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So Rodolfo Vieira has him all tied up in the first round, first minute or so.
Because he got tired, right?
Yeah. Anthony Hernandez gets manages to get out from like mount and all that over this guy. Gets out, you know, tags him a few times and then, you know, dancing around him. And then they get into some scrambles. And then the guy, by the end of the first, Vieira is like completely gassed. They go to the second round. Anthony does the exact same thing, pieces him up, this and that, cuts him, and then gets in a one-arm guillotine on him.
Oh, my God.
Submits the guy, man.
I mean, it shows
you. It was a great fight. It was fun, man.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows you, like you can have all the skill in the world, but, like, once you get tired in the fight, it's like being out in the ocean, not knowing how to swim. Yeah. You're fucked.
And we've seen this time, and I think, you know, we've seen kickboxers come over to MMA and get pieced up, you know, with like it's just a different game. It's they're worried about so many things, even on the feet. You know, you have like a Gokhan Saki, who's destroys guys over in Glory and kickboxing, comes over and barely gets by his first fight and gets knocked out his second. And
yeah, so many variables in a fight.
There's so many variables, and granted, he came into the game late, and he's trying his hand at the game super late in his career. But still, you know, it's just it doesn't matter what the age was; it happens a lot. Mm. You go with James Toney against Randy Couture.
Oh, that's, you know, right.
Mm-hmm. Couture made it easy for himself.
Yeah,
you know, ankle pick and just fucking just submits him. James Toney in a couple of minutes. You know what I mean? In 30 well, minute 30 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So we've seen it time and time again where a specialist comes in, and if they're not, you know, used to this game,
especially the grappling,
yeah, it doesn't matter if you're boxing, jiu-jitsu, or whatever you're coming in as, your what you did before in your discipline doesn't always translate. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's why, you know,
almost never does.
Yeah, and some people, like even like a Jake Paul, will like talk shit about MMA's boxing. And but it depends on which fighter you're talking about, and it depends on their, you know, their style. And some guys are specialists in other areas, so they don't really need to develop their striking. They'll just take you out, and they can still knock you out if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And there's your stances for if you're a boxing-oriented MMA fighter, your stance is completely different than it would be if you're in the ring. Your defense is different. It just doesn't translate the same. So people don't really take that into account. So Adolfo Vieira getting submitted isn't necessarily a big deal to me, even though he's a multiple-time, big-time guy. I'm not into the jiu-jitsu scene as some people may be. I know like a Damian Maia and all these other champions never really been submitted, I don't think. So they've adapted to the game. You know, they know, they understand the game. So this is different. And plus he was gassed and beat up, and it's a different ballpark when you're getting punched in the face.
Yeah, he'll learn. You know?
Yeah. Julian Marquez, which we'll talk a little bit about after this, defeated Maki Bitolo in a comeback victory late in the third. Mm-hmm. Ricky Simon, four fights in a row for this guy, just fucking just burning through guys, demolishing guys, and just, you know, just so he's too much to deal with for a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. Calvin Gastelum picking up a big win. I still think he 170s his weight class. I don't.
Yeah,
he needs.
He's like, just too lazy to go to 170.
He could right now, if he wanted to cut down to 170, he can fight for the title
and be a competitive fight
either right away or one fight away.
Very competitive.
And it would
fight.
Be competitive.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Calvin Gastelum's a beast, but he wants to eat his tacos and not work out, I guess. Yep. And he wants to just be at 185 and fight guys. And he's always usually the smaller guy.
And Ian Heinisch was massive in there, dude. Like, massive. Like, I was worried for Calvin just based on the size alone. Yeah. Ian Heinisch was a fucking monster in there.
And it shows you how much of a stud Calvin Gastelum
is. Yeah. And to throw around a guy as big as Heinisch and just toss him around like fucking like a bag of sand is hats off to Calvin. He's a true veteran. He showed it in this fight. Too many tricks out the bag, which we thought. Alexa Grasso defeating Macy Barber now. What'd you think about this one? I thought Alexa Grasso looked amazing. Fantastic in this fight.
Yeah, amazing. He looks, it was a great fight.
Yeah.
Dominant.
Her movements, her head movement, the quickness and the accuracy of her boxing. Her
she's a complete different fighter from her last fight.
And her wrestling and her ground game is coming you know,
together.
And,
yeah.
It's coming together. I thought Macy Barber was going to be muscle her around, and she actually muscled Macy Barber around for most of the fight, I think. Like, she tied her up and pushed up against the cage.
The smaller fighter, isn't she?
Height wise, they're roughly the same. Macy's a little bit wider, a little bit, you know, thicker in the bones, but not that, not by much. You know, Grasso's a little bit leaner. But, I mean, Grasso, she's top 10 now, I think.
For sure.
She looked great. She looked amazing. Mm-hmm. I think she's developing a lot, you know, better than I thought she was. I thought she was going to be mediocre in terms of, like, her ground and her wrestling.
Yeah, cause she definitely changed her fighting style.
She's coming around, man. Yeah. She's coming. She might be a force. And then Kamaru Usman defeating Gilbert Burns. Great fight. Started out
super
amazing.
Yeah.
Gilbert Burns came out hot and heavy. Stunned Kamaru. I think, for me, fucked up and giving him a lot of time to recover. And then Kamaru adjusted in the second and then finished him off in the third.
I mean, it just shows Burns' inexperience in there, like, as far as a championship fight. Like, he should have seized the opportunity when he saw who's been hurt, you know, going and pick his shots and either submit him or knock him out with TKO.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that. He let Usman get his composure back, and he paid for the price in the second round.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Usman switched stances, used the jab.
Yeah.
Burns looked a little, I'm going to say he gassed, but he wasn't coming in hot on the second.
No.
Not as much as he was in the first. And
he probably got like fucking dead leg.
Yeah,
or something dead weight, but you know it was a very emotional victory for Kamaru because you know they're their buddies, so
yeah, they came up together. They enjoyed each other's company.
He wasn't necessarily satisfied or happy that he won.
No. The overall, anything else you want to point out from the card?
No, I mean, it was a great co-main event. Main event with great fights. Yeah. The rest, I mean, all around was good, but the last two fights were entertaining.
Yeah, I think for fighters like Ian Heinisch or Macy Barber, I think even Gilbert Burns, who's a little bit...
There are more losses for them, you think?
They're learning losses. Ian Heinisch, you know, obviously you're going to develop that, you know, take down defense, be more aware of certain positions.
Yeah.
Macy Barber, again, being more aware of your positions. I thought she was very far away from Alexa for most of the fight, trying to fake her and jab, and she was just too far away. By the time she got in, you know, Alexa saw her coming and just pop, pop, pop. You know, so it was a learning curve for Macy, and we'll see where she goes. She put a lot of pressure on herself coming in, and she's going to have to work to really get over that hump.
Yeah, she does.
Because everybody's going to look at every fight of hers as, did she learn? Is she getting better? Is she getting better? And if she's not, you give her one or two more losses, she might get cut.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
They're off to Invicta, you go. And then Gilbert Burns, I think he'll be right back in there. I think he's still probably one of the best in the division. I think he can take on a couple of the guys. It's still a fun matchup for him that he hasn't fought before.
I think if Usman ever loses his title, it'll benefit him for sure.
Yeah. If Colby, let's say Colby gets Usman or something like that, I wouldn't mind seeing Burns against either a Colby or a Masvidal. As like, if whoever gets Masvidal, or no, whoever gets Usman, I say Gilbert should get the other. No?
I mean, I don't see that happening. I don't think Colby fighting Burns is a fight that he wouldn't take.
So let's get into the welterweight picture, because a lot of these guys are just not wanting to fight each other.
Which is fucking strange.
It's strange. So let's get into that. All right. So the welterweight picture, you have Kamaru, champ. You have Gilbert Burns, who just lost. You have Masvidal. You have Covington. Let me pull up the
welterweight. Nate Diaz is in there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if he comes, but yeah.
Yeah. You'll see.
It's not really official. I mean, but you got some killers in there.
Yeah, you have some killers. You have definitely at that weight class. Now, if we're looking at the division itself, Kamaru's a champ. Colby's still number one contender. Gilbert Burns just lost, so he's probably number two right now. Leon Edwards, number three. Masvidal, number four. And Thompson, number five. Stephen Thompson, number five. Six Chiesa, Woodley, Maya, Magny, and Vicente Luque. And that's your top 10. Just right under that, you have guys like Cosmat. You have who's everybody expecting him to make his way to the top of the division pretty soon. You have Jeff Neal. You have Robbie Lawler. You have Bilal Muhammad, who's actually stepping in to fight Leon Edwards. That just got announced. So there's your top.
Now, Leon, you're right. Yeah.
Those your top 15. But Colby doesn't want to fight Burns or Leon. Mm-hmm. I mean, Burns hasn't really been mentioned because he just fought, but Leon's been mentioned. Colby doesn't want that fight. Jorge doesn't want that fight. Steven Thompson wants that fight. I don't know if Edwards really wants that fight, because Steven Thompson, even though he's long on the tooth right now, is still a puzzle to figure out.
Yeah, he is.
And, the other guys in the division aren't really mentioned too, But, Bilal is stepping up big time at 13, fighting number 3. Could be a little bit too much for him right now, but, it's a good exposure.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Who would you match up people with? You got the, what's it called, Ultimate Fighter?
I mean, I do Masvidal and Colby, but, I mean, obviously that's not going to fight. I mean, it's not going to come to fruition because Masvidal doesn't want to fight him. He doesn't want to give him too much shine, is what he said. Give Colby too much shine because it's going to be on the Ultimate Fighter. But I think right now that fight, A, needs to happen, and two, makes more sense, and then three, it's going to be the most entertaining, especially on the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, I agree. I think Colby and Masvidal coaches on Ultimate Fighter. They fight.
Yeah.
I think Usman got a suspension. I think he's got a foot thing. So that might put him out for a while.
Yeah.
Leon's fighting Bilal. And then you have Thompson, who's, maybe according to Usman, is just not at his level currently. Maybe he should fight one of the top other four guys and then get a shot. But there's your... Yeah, I would... So what do you do with Usman then? Does he just sit out?
I mean...
And wait?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think the UFC should do like a mini welterweight tournament.
And have, yeah.
Well, like for sure, Colby and Masvidal won't happen because Masvidal won't fight. But
Usman called out Masvidal, and he called out Nate Diaz.
Yeah, Nate Diaz is a question mark for
question mark for anybody. Yeah.
But let's say Masvidal doesn't fight Colby, which is it's a pretty good chance that doesn't happen. I'd put. You can't do Colby and Usman because they just fought not so long ago.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough.
It's tough.
I mean, it has to be Masvidal and Usman then. That's the only fight to make.
Yeah, that rematch.
Yeah.
And what do you do with Colby? Colby just sits out? Maybe fights Burns? Because he's ready to go right now, I think.
And I wouldn't hate... I mean... Why not him and Calvin? Oh, no. This is 170. My bad.
Yeah.
That is 170.
You got Chiesa. Colby and... I think... Well, Chiesa called out Colby Covington.
Oh, there you go. But Colby won't fight anybody but the champ.
Yeah. Colby doesn't want anybody but... See, that's the problem right now. Is that Usman, Colby, and Masvidal don't want to fight anybody else but each other.
I don't know. They seem to do something about this. Like, people wanted to... So now, do these people want to get paid, or they want to just kind of sit out and not do nothing?
They don't want to lose their spots. They don't
want
to.
Well, they won fights.
Yeah, they there's a lot. Chiesa against Colby. That's a fun fight. Colby could lose that fight in a decision. Who knows?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to fight Leon because he's just the most dangerous guy in the top five, at least.
With no name.
No name. You know what I mean? Steven Thompson is too over the hill, even though he has a name. And it'll be competitive. He's just too over the hill for most of these guys that they don't want to lose their spot to an older fighter like that.
I don't know.
It's still dangerous.
It's strange because, I mean, if you don't lose your spots, then it's win your fights.
Yeah, nobody wants to lose this.
That just shows me they're not confident in themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
They're pretty much saying that, I'm going to lose a fight.
Yeah, And then, so that's basically, it kind of has to sort itself out. I don't know how they're going to do this. Burns, you could put him out for at least 6 months. He's got the injuries. He's got to heal up. He's got to regroup and, you know, all that stuff. Thompson's waiting in the wings. He's calling people out. Nobody's answering the call.
Then have Burns fight Thompson.
I wouldn't mind that one.
And then Chiesa, Covington, and then he's going to have to fight somebody. And then do Masvidal and Usman.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's strange because, I mean, the UFC can't force him to fight. So they should say, look, if you don't want to fight, then you're going to have to sit out and not make no money.
Yeah. If I was Burns, I wouldn't mind a Chiesa fight. He's a bigger guy. He's got the wrestling, yes, but you might be able to catch him with the striking.
I mean, if Nate Diaz comes back, have Nate fight Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Then Nate saying he wants to be at 170. I'm like, I just don't see a positive fight for him. And I think he does a way better job at 155.
Yeah, because you know, at 170, you got guys who are bigger than him, whereas big, and then
they're better strikers, or they're wrestlers.
Yeah.
So it's like, what pick that's your poison?
That's his.
I don't know.
His poison.
Yeah, that whole welterweight mix up, the fact that everybody's holding out for each other, it's just
fucking, that's what makes it difficult.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
It's really annoying. Let's talk about Usman being the GOAT of the welterweight division.
I mean, I don't think so. I think he needs a lot more tower defenses.
Yeah.
And he needs to fight, I guess, bigger names. I don't know. Not bigger names, but maybe more tower defenses.
Yeah, you know, I've seen people talk about this, and most of the time they're saying he's there, he's on his way, but he's not there yet. And I tend to agree. You know, like with GSP, like with you too, like with GSP had a long, you know, winning streak before he got the title, had an even longer title defense streak, retired as a champ, came back, got another champ title in a different weight class.
I think that's what separates him.
That's GOAT status. Yeah. You know what I mean? And fought multiple generational fighters, like fought the generation that was in, but he was a young guy and beat those guys. And then he beat the new guys that were the guys in his come up and beat them too. So he beat like two generations of champs and fighters. And people want to knock GSP down, like, oh, you know, like, oh, well, the game's changed, and these fighters are...
But how's it happen? How's that his fault, though?
Yeah, it's not his fault. And plus, if you look at the list of top 10...
I think GSP will smoke all those guys
I think a prime GSP will smoke all these guys.
Oh, yeah, easily.
And if you look at GSP's top 10 during his reign, those guys are no joke either. No. Their styles and their level of athleticism were pretty comparable to these other guys.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know who stands out. Nobody's in this, you know.
And the thing that separates GSP and Usman is the fact that GSP went up.
Yeah. And Usman's, I don't think Usman could go up.
No.
And have the same success. I think he's too small.
Yeah.
In a way for the big guys at 185. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, he would have to really, really pick his opponents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think, I think, especially...
He has potential to be there.
Yeah, and I think the argument for the generational thing, I think it's kind of weak. I don't think, I think a lot of the GSP's generation are still fighting in mm-hmm. and so the generational talk, I think is kind of, the argument is kind of weak. The skill set is pretty comparable. I mean, I would say that Usman might have a little bit more of the punching power, but... That's about it. I mean, GSP was definitely more athletic and definitely more like ability to change levels and,
you know, and
game plan.
And as far as GSP, like, his personality was never there, but people knew who he was because he kind of changed the game as far as being professional. You know, he was a household name. I mean, Usman's not even in there yet.
He was the first real like athlete looking person, or even just like in the cage and performance wise, the first real athlete,
and wearing like brands like
what did he have, Nike or Under Armour or
Under Armour
Gatorade and all that other shit.
Yeah, he was on posters.
Yeah, like, I just don't think. Yeah, and so plus
he's not there. Usman's not there.
And just on the title defenses alone, the amount of title defenses, it's already, he's not there.
And he retired as a champion.
Yeah, he's not there
twice.
I think I saw a few people saying he's probably the GOAT, but he's not there yet.
No.
He's on his way.
He's on his way, but no, he's not there yet.
Let's see. All right, so there's the 258 kind of recap right there. Let's get into another topic from 258 before we get off this. That's Julian Marquez.
Oh, yeah.
And so Julian Marquez picked up a win at 258 last few seconds of the last round over Marco Pitolo. Takes the time out to call out Miley Cyrus, the Miley pop star, actress Miley Cyrus, as his Valentine, And she responded. She responded that night, told him, shave a MC on your in your chest hair, and I'm yours. All he had to do. And I mean, probably one of the biggest in terms of a guy's standpoint. It's a fumble. You fumbled the fucking ball. So
yeah, because he came back with a demand.
Yes. So he comes back, Julian Marquez. Instead of just go ahead and shave the MC in your chest hair, just do what she asked, and then post it up, and she'll retweet it, and who knows what the fuck you could get from it. Mm-hmm. He goes and tweets right back at her later that night or that next day, asking for her to get a henna tattoo right above her belly button, like saying the Cuban Missile Crisis, and right above her belly button, like Tupac. That was basically his tweet to her. And I think this has been a unanimous reaction across the MMA community, and it's funny, like DC's reaction, Ariel's reaction. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. That this is he fumbled the ball. You fucked up.
Oh fuck yeah! Yes. He fucked up.
You had your shot.
Because no one knows. First of all, no one knows who the fuck he is.
No,
unless you follow MMA.
He hasn't fought in like 2-3 years.
Yeah, yes. Unless you're like a hardcore MMA fan.
Yeah,
you got a pop star who's super famous and everyone knows who she is.
Yeah,
to respond and give you like a simple request.
She actually responded to you.
Yeah, and how hard is it to shave MC on your chest hair?
Do it right then and there.
Yeah, and then take a picture. And if you guys go out, fucking leave it on there. If you guys gonna go out, if not, shave it off.
Yeah.
It's gonna benefit you if you do that shit.
At the very least, she retweets you. You guys do like a video call. It gets on like E or whatever the fuck.
People talking about you.
People talk about you. Your name gets out there. You probably do some radio spots.
Yeah.
Interviews.
All of that goes out.
You ain't getting shit now, dude. You got nothing. Idiot. You fucked it up. Well, that's all you had to do. Just answer it. Answer the call.
What an idiot.
She did.
Dude, what an idiot. And did Mary Cyrus respond? No. Do you think he's responding to that shit? No. Yeah. It's like me reaching out to like, I don't know, like Metallica.
Yeah, if you had a platform.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you had a platform and you got on some like game show or whatever the fuck, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, Metallica, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. What would you say? Give me something or whatever. Do something invite me backstage to your next concert at the Rose Bowl or something like that.
But my point is, it's like a peasant like myself calling out someone who's like fucking up there. Yeah. It's almost the same thing. Like he's not super famous.
They'll be like shave an M on your head.
But
and the lightning bolts.
Yeah, and I fucking do it.
You'll do it right then and there.
Yeah, fuck yeah. But I'm just saying like, he's nobody, and he's getting response from someone who's really big that can benefit him in every way possible.
Yeah.
And he comes back with a demand. Oh, you don't deserve to fucking... You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
Yeah. Poor Julian Marquez. I don't think he realized. I think he was thinking... He was being kind of funny.
Where's his manager? Where's an earpiece? Yeah, a friend or something. Talked to him and got in his ear.
Yeah, what I think is that he was probably at home on his couch or in his hotel room.
Super confident. Like, oh, she responded to me.
I think we've all kind of been there when you're talking to a girl that you really like, and then she actually responds to you or something like that. Mm. And then you're like, every text message is like a freaking... You're just nervous for every text message and wondering what's... Oh, is she going to... Is this going to... Oh, please, please respond to this one. Nah. Please respond to this. Yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
So,
but he fucked up.
Felt bad for him. But then I didn't feel bad for him. Whoever was around you should have told you.
Yeah. I mean, where's his manager? Where's his buddies? Yeah. Something.
Something, dude. Yeah, I thought that was pretty sad, pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, it was. It made me fucking embarrassed for my friend.
Yeah, you had your shot, man. I thought that was pretty funny to come out of there.
Yeah.
All right, so before we get to fight picks, let's talk about what's going on with Gina Carano. So I think on the last episode, we might have touched on, I don't even know if we talked about it, but it definitely happened. I think the big stuff where she got let go by Lucasfilm and The Mandalorian, all that right after. So, your thoughts on the Gina Carano situation?
I thought it was very insensitive of her.
Yeah.
Stupid is the first word that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
Just cause like, I think we talked about this off camera, but if you're a celebrity or someone in the public, you should fucking, so you or someone should tell you what not to do to fuck up your career.
Mm-hmm.
This girl had every opportunity, a golden egg in her hands with Disney and Star Wars. First, she's working for Disney. Second, she has a prominent role in a Star Wars series.
Yeah.
And she fucks everything up for a fucking stupid insensitive rant that she's on Instagram.
Yeah.
And now she's going to pay the price. And then she can at least, you know, maybe come back and apologize or do something. But she didn't apologize. Like, she was non-apologetic for anything that she said. In fact, she was criticizing Disney for doing what they did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, come on.
And then came out with, like, I signed a deal with Ben Shapiro, who's kind of a radio personality. He's been on Rogan's a couple of times. Kind of a Jewish kid, but, like, right-wing and all that. And oh, I signed a deal with his like network to produce a movie, and I'm so excited. This is
you're not a great actress.
Yeah,
Gina,
this is just the beginning, and I don't know what she was saying.
Good luck with that shit, and good luck with that network.
Yeah. So, when I saw it, like, I think a lot of people are. If you dissect just the tweet alone, and you look at it from like a regular person's standpoint, you could be like, okay, I guess I get what she's saying. And by, you know, Disney's reaction, you could be like, oh, well, they just proved her point. But I thought the comparison was distasteful to begin with. Like, why? You should know better than to just compare anything to the Holocaust and the Jews when you're not Jewish yourself or have...
That's just being insensitive.
You're just being insensitive. Yeah. You're being a dick for comparing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Even if you're trying to prove your point, like, okay, you kind of proved your point, but you still, it was a dumb comparison to make.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you have a long track history of tweets where you're retweeting QAnon stuff, you're retweeting Stop the Steal stuff, you're obviously an open Trump supporter. Disney already talked to you about your kind of making fun of the whole pronouns and this, and you were doing bleep, blah, bloop or whatever like that. So you already have a previous track record of being on tweets and you know, threatening to get off Twitter and go to Parler and all this other stuff. And so, and they still stuck by you. They still kept you on, and you already knew you were on thin ice with the public, let alone Disney. And then you're a part of Disney, which is like a family company, and
that's very white.
Yeah, and very very like left leaning.
Not white, but like, you know, as far as like black and white, they're very white.
They're very. There's no gray area for them. So no. It's like. Also, they're obviously a Hollywood left-leaning, for the most part, kind of company. And you know this. And you're on their biggest, one of the, if not the biggest shows currently going on anywhere. And you're a face of that show. Like, and all you need to do shut your freaking trap. Or at least tone down the political talk. Just tweet like normal shit.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. You would keep your job. You would have that spinoff they were going to give you where you would have got tons of fucking money and your own spinoff Star Wars show.
But no, you fucking dumbass had to open your fucking mouth and tweet.
Yeah. And then not only that, you tweet something about Jews and Hitler and the Nazis when you're in that whole Hollywood kind of bubble to begin with. And you already know that Jews and Nazis and Hollywood do not mix. So to compare anything to that kind of stuff is you do not bring that kind of stuff up lightly. You better have a really good point to make.
Not in public.
And all you had to do, you could keep tweeting, and she could still keep tweeting. She's canceled, but she's not really canceled. The company fired her because she's a public figure, a face of the company, and they felt that her views and her actions are not aligning with what they're all about.
And all her toy lines, bye-bye.
So
all that merchandise money, you fucking idiot.
You got fired by your job. You got fired by the company. You got your toy line that you had with them canceled. You had your job. I don't think they fired her. They just didn't renew the contract for the next season. So you're basically, in a way, you're fired. That spinoff that you were going to have.
Gone.
Was gone. They didn't want you on press tours to help promote and pay you for those press tours because you're just a loose cannon. And all you're going to get was this negative press, and they don't want negative press.
Mm-mm, not
they,
Disney.
They, not Disney.
Not want, Mickey Mouse, no.
They want positive press. And some people are like, oh, but Pedro Pascal posted a tweet about, you know, the kids and the migrant, the kids in the cages over at the border and compare them to Jews.
It's a big difference. He's Latino. He can fucking do that.
One, he's of Latin descent, it's kind of like, maybe he shouldn't have done that either, but it's a more of a closer comparison.
Well,
to kids in cages, and kids behind in the Auschwitz camp. It's somewhat a closer comparison because you still have you know it's really true, and you have human beings that are put in cages, so you know it's true. You know it's a loose comparison. But it's still a closer comparison than what she was trying to make. So everybody's like, oh, it's a double standard. Yeah, I guess. But he doesn't tweet like that, like you do. Not as often as you do a political stuff as you do. Plus,
she has a track record.
And let's be honest. Yeah, he is on their side for the most part, politically at least. Mm-hmm. So he's got that going for him too. So they're going to give him a little bit of slack. They gave her slack. They give her a lot of slack. And she's been active tweeting. And they finally just, all right, you're comparing Jews and Nazis to whatever you're going through.
See ya.
Bye. So everybody wants to look at her as this free speech martyr and this hero for free speech, and all these right wing people are backing her and leave her alone, like stupid as Dana White. She's not a martyr for free speech. She's just a bad employee. And a public figure on the biggest TV show around, mm-hmm. and you got fired.
Canned, yeah.
You got fired by your company. If I was out there tweeting and talking shit online, and I was a big prominent person in the company, I would probably get fired too.
Yep.
If I was saying some shit that didn't align with the company,
because you know, having a platform comes a big responsibility.
Yeah.
And you can't just be reckless with that responsibility. And Disney's all about family and loving, you know, whatever, you're black, white, whoever, and respecting everybody. And like, you come out there and do that shit, or like, come on.
Yeah, and everybody's like, oh, well, not everybody, but there's people like, oh, well, Disney has that past. And I'm like, yeah, but.
That was then, this is now.
Think about what was going on in the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course there's stereotypes. Yeah. Of course, you know, and there's no proven Disney was like a Nazi sympathizer or something like that, but one, there's no truth to any of that. It's all like rumors, or like it was all like conspiracy type stuff. Mm-hmm. Plus, majority of his staff, writers, animators, musicians were Jewish descent, most of them. Mm-hmm. His closest people were Jewish descent. It's just I don't know. And they're just trying to make up for their history. And I'm like, every company, if you go back, any company that was around in the 30s, 40s, 50s
had the same track record.
Got a fucking history.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. I think for Gina Carano, good riddance. You're just a stupid fucking person.
Yeah, you are.
You're just a stupid person that had everything handed to you. I mean, not handed to you, but you were given
a great opportunity of your life.
An opportunity
that you would never get ever again.
That we can only hope to even be on close to a set.
Yeah.
Let alone
an iconic stage like Star Wars.
Yeah, and be a star on the show and possibly even had your own spinoff. You know how much just if they asked me just to cool it on my political tweets to get shit ton of cash and be a
fuck
big time
yeah, I should A-list the fuck star. Up.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
I shut the fuck up.
And she chose not to shut the fuck
and
up.
And this is the consequence.
And now she's signed with Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, good luck with that shit.
Good luck with that. All right. That's enough with Gina Carano. Good riddance.
All right, so let's get into fights for this weekend. Oh, fuck. I fucked up my finger. You know, I was getting some diapers for my son, and maybe I was rushing it. And, you know, like the packages are really tightly sealed.
Yeah.
So I was pulling it, and then this finger went like this way, and the bag pressed up against it. And
oh,
like,
fuck.
Oh, man, it's bugging me. I probably had a little mini fracture in there.
Oh, shit.
Let's see. This weekend, One Championship's got a card. You got a couple other promotions. LFA. They got their cards. Oh, no. Yeah, just LFA and actually UFC have their two major cards this weekend. A couple of boxing, I think, cards on Top Rank. Let's see. UFC Fight Night 185, Blaydes versus Lewis. The card got some names on there. Eddie Wineland against John Castaneda. Remember from Combate?
Combate, yeah.
That's a big fight for mm-hmm. John.
Yeah,
it's a huge fight for him. His debut, he didn't get the decision, but he did okay. This is a big fight for a big name. So this is I think this is do or die for John.
Yeah, it is.
Luis Pena, Jared Gordon, and Danny Chavez are your main card on the prelims. Arlovski is kicking off the main card against Thomas Beanel. I'm not too familiar with Tom. I think it's a tough fight for him, actually, from what I have seen. But I'm not that familiar with him to make a prediction on that one. But a lot of people are leaning towards Tom. Phil Haas. Chris Dukakis and Alexei Olenek is an interesting fight. I'm looking forward to that one. Derek Minner versus Charles Rosa is on there. Yana Kunitskaya versus Caitlin Vieira. I think that's a really interesting fun co-main event for the women's title. Or not women's title, but
women's fight.
Divisions. Women's bound, yeah. And then Curtis Blaydes against Derek Lewis is a fun heavyweight. Two big, gigantic dudes. One wrestler, one more of a striker. How's this going to go? Typical striker versus wrestler, or what do you think?
Yeah, but like, I want to pick Derek Lewis, but he gasses out a lot in his fights.
Yeah.
And then he's fighting a grappler and Curtis Blaydes who can...
Yeah.
Take him down and just work Derek Lewis on. I see that happening, unfortunately. I see Curtis Blaydes is wrestling Derek Lewis until he gets tired and possibly finish him or a decision.
Yeah. I think when Derek Lewis beat Olenek, I saw a lighter, more in shape Derek, a more aggressive Derek.
Yeah.
Now, I know he's probably been working on his wrestling and his jiu-jitsu and his cardio. I don't know if that's going to be enough to beat a guy like Blaydes, who I think probably has some of the best wrestling in the division.
Yeah. Probably the best wrestling in the division.
And for that weight class to move like he does, or in terms of like he will shoot, and most guys don't really shoot. They usually go for like a tie-up kind of takedown. He goes like he'll do a double leg on you.
Yeah.
If he sees an opening. Now, his hands are getting better. You know, he's been clipped by, you know, Ngannou and all that stuff, but he's fought good strikers too, so. And he's a big guy. He'll weigh on you. I think if you have money and you want to bet on this fight, I think Blaydes is probably your best bet.
Safest
bet. You usually go with the wrestler. If it's a wrestler striker, you usually go with the wrestler.
Yeah.
Especially if he can hold his own a little bit on the feet.
Right.
So I would... Betting person, probably definitely go with Blaydes. You're safe money. But if you want to live dangerously and you think that Derek would pull it off within five rounds,
I think he has a bunch of gems. I don't think it's out of the question.
He has a bunch of gems.
I think so. Yeah. So if you want to put some money on Derek Lewis, and you know, maybe he'll crack blades coming in, or maybe stuff a takedown and clip him.
Some money.
That's a pretty decent bet too.
Yeah,
I wouldn't count him out completely. So that's going to be a fun main event and a decent card. So,
yeah.
All right, thank you guys. That's all. Sure. Thank you guys all for watching, listening. Please like, subscribe, share, retweet, all that stuff.
All right, guys, enjoy the fights, and we'll see you next week.